The Library of Congress has digitized documents that provide a unique perspective on slavery in America. They include the only known autobiography of a slave that's written in Arabic. The slave was a Muslim and educated. He wrote the narrative around 1831, the year slaves in Virginia went on a two-day uprising called the Nat Turner Rebellion. Ala Al-Reyes of Queens College, City University of New York, is author of the book A Muslim American Slave, The Life of Omar Ibn Said. Professor, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much. Very pleased to be here.
Who was Omar ibn Said?
Omar ibn Said was an enslaved person. He says that he was a student for 25 years, then was captured by a big army, then abducted into a big ship that carried him to the United States, and he was sold in Charleston. He then escaped running north. He was apprehended, arrested near Fayetteville, North Carolina, and ended up being purchased by a man who was actually the brother of a North Carolina governor.
What can you tell us about his life as a slave?
It was a privileged life. After he escapes from Charleston, he mentions that the early years, possibly about 2 years of living in slavery, were pretty miserable. He was put to work in the fields in South Carolina. But after his escape and ending up in the hands of what he refers to as a kind master in North Carolina, his life became easier. But as he grew older, it seems that he was allowed to lead a life in which he did a lot of writing. His writings were circulated around and certainly attracted the attention of a considerable number of people. The big question was, who were those people who asked Omar to write his life, and why were they moved to ask him that question?
So what were you able to learn about the context in which he was held and why those who owned him wanted him to write an autobiography or a manuscript? Why did they do that?
It's possible that he was asked to write his autobiography in 1831 because the August of that year was the Fiery Slave Rebellion by Nat Turner, and its aftermath was really disturbing to slave owners in the South, and there was a lot of retribution. So on the surface, he praises his masters as good people, but there are many moments in the narrative where he seems to be offering sort of double utterances or speaking in a double language in order to speak against slavery or against what he experienced himself as well.
He cites the Quran in his narrative. Was he free to practice Islam?
He opens his autobiography with a chapter from the Quran or a surah called Al-Mulk, which translates as the possession or the ownership. And it says explicitly that only God has the mulk, that is, only God has the possession or the ownership of people. And it's a chapter of the Quran that seems to go against the very premise of slavery. But the way in which his owners dealt with his religion was to frame it as someone who has converted to Christianity. So his autobiography itself says things about, before I came here, my book was the Quran, and now it's not, and so on and so forth. Right.
So he eventually did convert to Christianity?
He did attend church, and he did read the Bible. But I think he also relied on the fact that Islam regards Jesus as a prophet and regards Christianity as another religion of the book. I myself don't think that he converted, but I think the narrative of conversion was the narrative that his owners wanted to hear and wanted to support.
To help us put this in context in American history, here we have a slave who was encouraged to write his autobiography, to have this manuscript for the ages. Apparently in it, he does say some laudatory things about his masters. On the other hand, he's writing it in Arabic. There are things that he says that could be considered subversive. I wonder if they even knew what he was writing. What's your take on how this was viewed then and how you view it?
Part of the context of this is to go back to that question of why was he asked to write this. At one point, he mentions a Sheikh Hunter, whom I later traced to a member of the American Colonization Society, the ACS, which a southern group that really wanted to manumit slaves, but then rather than having them stay in the United States, wanted them to immigrate, to leave the U.S., to settle in Liberia. And I believe that this group was the group that ultimately is responsible for having asked Omar to write this narrative. The fact that Omar was literate and literate in Arabic, I think, made him fascinating for this group that wanted to bolster their anti-slavery argument, I would say, not on the grounds of, say, common humanity, but on the grounds of culture. That this man and many others are really literate and highly cultured, and therefore they deserve to be sent back to Africa where they came from. The ACS, of course, then clashed with the abolitionists in the North, whose story is a much more well-known story, I would say, in the annals of American slavery.
Have you laid your hands on the manuscript itself?
Yes. It's well-preserved, and it's vellum, right? So it's heavier. It's really quite stunning to see it. I was really fascinated by that remarkable window it opens into the wider and older relation that Islam and America have.
Professor, thank you so much for telling us about the story. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's Ala Al-Rayes, English professor at Queen's College, CUNY. He's author of the book, A Muslim American Slave, The Life of Omar Ibn Said. It includes the English translation of Said's autobiography, the only known U.S. slave narrative written in Arabic. You can view the manuscript and other related documents online at hereandnow.org.